Folks, you are tuned to Your High Plains Public Radio. It is a beautiful day on the High Plains. Hope you're having a good one so far. I'm Jenny Anzarello, live in the studio, and I am so happy to welcome via the magic of the internet. We've got Kiki Bush on the line, and this is a pretty exciting thing. I tell you, whenever I see anything related to the arts in Kansas, I get very excited to try to feature that on this program. We've got such a platform here. This is a particularly exciting endeavor, and I am so excited to have you on the line, Kiki, to tell us more about a new film that you created, as well as an initiative called Rural Women Make Films, which is at ruralwomenfilms.com. The new film is called The Game Camera, and the trailer is really cool. I hope everyone will check it out. I'll post it on our HPPR Facebook page. But Kiki Bush, thank you for sharing some time with the listeners of High Plains Public Radio.
Thank you, Jenny. It's a real pleasure to be here with you guys today.
Okay, first and foremost, from where are you calling right now in Kansas?
I am in rural Saline County, Kansas. I am on my old horse ranch. I had nothing to do with the horses, but I'm on 30 acres of really beautiful prairie, about 70 miles away from where I was born and raised in Rice County, Kansas. Sterling was where I was born and raised. So I am a central Kansas rural girl, born and bred, and it's really, really nice to be home.
Well, when I checked out your the website for Rural Women Films, it says women's stories from flyover country, narrative films by women in rural areas. So this is not something to take lightly. There's really kind of a deficit of regional voices, which is something that we work really hard to kind of counteract here on High Plains Public Radio and share the voices of the people who are from our region, because we just don't hear them or see the representation that we should have. Can you talk a little bit about just generally, how did this endeavor come about?
Sure. Wow, that's a lot. And I think you're so right. As someone who was from a really small town, one stoplight, I knew at a very young age that I wanted to be an actor. And I owe that in large part due to the Sterling College that was right across the street from me. And they had a really robust community theater. And I would run across the street and see these plays and knew that I had to get out of my small town in order to do that. And I did. I was gone for about 20 years. I lived in New York and did a lot of theater and a lot of TV and that kind of thing. But to your point about there being a deficit, COVID brought me back, and I ended up spending a lot of time during COVID with my parents in this really wonderful, we were really lucky. We had this really beautiful bubble where we made cookies and watched TV. But I also met my husband, who is a travel writer based in Kansas from Wichita. And we met online, and I decided to stay. And with him, we've felt really impassioned about making films by the people who live in these areas about these areas. And I'm speaking specifically to rural Kansas. And I challenge your listeners, I couldn't do it before I started this process. Name three films that were shot entirely in Kansas. I don't think you can do it because there just aren't that many. Everybody will go, oh, well, The Wizard of Oz. Nope, it was shot in Culver City about 85 years ago. And yet that is still the film that we're known for. And as an actor who, you know, has had a lot of really great TV and film and theater over the years, but now that I'm back, I would like to continue that on a high professional level here in central Kansas. So it's a big charge, but I'm hoping with this first film, The Game Camera, we're going to make a pretty good stab at it. That's kind of a long-winded way of saying I'm happy to be back and really excited that we've got a platform such as yours to promote ourselves with.
Well, I it's funny because one of the things I always do listen for and try to pay attention to is things that did happen here on the High Plains, things that were created here. And, you know, there's that TV show Somebody Somewhere that is set in Manhattan. But I'm curious, do you know, is it filmed in Kansas?
It's funny that you mentioned that because we actually wanted Bridget to be on some level a part of this. And I reached out to her and had a really lovely conversation with her. I love what they're doing with Somebody Somewhere. If your listeners don't know it, I highly encourage you to go find it. It is a beautiful, beautiful tale of a rural adjacent. It's set in Manhattan, Kansas, which is about the same size as Salina, where I'm outside. Salina is the main town where I'm based, around 50,000 people. But it's telling the story of a woman who's over 40 and her ragtag community that includes a lot of different people that you wouldn't think live in Kansas, but they do. And to answer your question, no, it's not shot in Kansas. And that is one of the things that, while I love the show so much, they just couldn't hack it. It would have been too expensive for the production company to be based in Manhattan where it was set. So they ended up shooting it around Chicago, actually. And if I'm a little critical of just some of the accents in it and the fact that, you know, didn't know that Manhattan, Kansas had so much corn. But when you film in Illinois and pretend that it is Kansas, you have to make some admissions for that. So yeah, not a lot is filmed in Kansas because of the lack of film tax incentives, which is something that I've actually worked with a lobbying company called Grow Kansas Film on. I was asked to speak in front of the Kansas House on behalf of having film incentives here. We didn't get it done last year, but we're going to go back to the drawing board this year. I mean, my short film alone could have saved some money. Had we had those in place, like Missouri does, like Oklahoma does, but we haven't gotten it done yet, but I've got hope that we will.
Well, I just actually looked it up, and it looks like, yeah, it was, it's filmed in West Chicago, so Warrenville area, which I have friends from there, and yeah, that accent's really, oh my God, it's very Chicago.
There's a bit of it.
Okay. That is really funny. Now speaking,
but I don't want to denigrate it. It's a fabulous play. It's a fabulous series, and I think that, you know, that's a really good step in the right direction to change what we think of these quote unquote flyover countries. You know, they represent people who are all colors of the rainbow, all types of different proclivities, and you know, it's not just this homogenous person that's represented in somebody somewhere. And I really am grateful for that, because we're varied out here. People just don't know that.
Yeah. And now, speaking of your film, The Game Camera, I know you have a screening, kind of a specialty screening coming up. When is that happening?
Right. It's this weekend on Saturday. We're having it at the Salina Arts Center, and the Salina Arts Center has a cinema alongside it. And it is one of three independent movie theaters in all of Kansas, and by far the western most rural one. The other ones are in Lawrence and Kansas City, and I love them, but it's so exciting for me to have moved back to a place that has an indie film cinema. And they're going to host three different screenings for us. It is invite only. We're about to hopefully compete on the film festival circuit, and we aren't allowed because of the rules of that. We've got to keep it as a sneak peek only, but I'm hoping that after we garner a few laurels at film festivals, that I can take it on the road to the extent that I can. I'd love to show it in some of the bigger cities in western Kansas and central Kansas. If you've got a nice screen and you'd like to see, you know, what Rural Women Films is about and what we're making in rural Kansas, I'd love to, you know, reach out to me, and I'd love to talk to you about showing it in your town.
Well, I can give you some good news about the Amarillo area. We just had our first Amarillo International Film Festival that was set up through the Amarillo Film Society. They just wrapped it up a couple weeks ago, but it's going to keep going. So I really hope, fingers crossed, you could submit for that one.
Well, I will add it to the list. There are so many, and I love that there are so many in our area that are happening. Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita just wrapped up. My director and I, Emily Railsback, she and I were in the Tallgrass Film Festival in 2020. We won Best Kansas Narrative Short, and I hope to recreate that victory again this time around when we submit next year.
Well, I saw the trailer for your film, The Game Camera, and it is just very, very lusciously and beautifully shot. Tell folks a little bit about this film. Like, is it a short? Is it a full length? Tell us a little bit about Game Camera.
Yeah, it's a short. And I'll give you the log line. And that is, when a grieving woman installs a night vision game camera in her mini horse's pen on her Kansas ranch, the photographic image of a man's legs forces her to reconsider her husband's death. And the genesis of that was basically this land that my husband and I live on. So before he met me, he moved up here. We've got 30 acres. And he decided, he's a Wichita boy, so he was like, okay, I'm a country boy now. I'm going to get a game camera and see what's out here. So he put this thing up on the edge of our property. And lo and behold, there were raccoons, and there were feral cats and deer and possums and skunks. And even one night there was a bobcat. And then one day he checked the memory card, and there was a man's legs that was captured at around midnight. So there was some guy walking on our property, and we're, you know, about 20 minutes away from town, and 911 would take a while to get out here. But he told me this story, and then we promptly started locking our doors after that. But it was such a great idea for a film. Somebody somewhere also inspired us to write about our home state, as did Kevin Willmott's work. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with him, but he is the Oscar award-winning writer for Black Klansman, along with Spike Lee. And then also this art center in Salina has, at their cinema, they've got the Oscar shorts. So we were watching the Oscar shorts, the Academy Awards for short films. We came home and we were like, let's write a story about that guy walking on our property. So lo and behold, we used our assets, which was my husband's a writer, so I put him to work. I can be your lead actor, and we've got this really beautiful property. And thank you. I think a lot of people, especially my East Coast friends, they're like, what are you going to do in Kansas? It's so flat and boring. And I think you've got to stop and take some time. And I'm not just saying this because you guys are High Plains Public Radio, but one of my favorite parts of driving out to Colorado is your area. Those high plains just make you feel like you're going to touch the sky. And there's something so absolutely ethereal about it. And I'm hoping that some of the shots of the prairie in our film really capture that beauty that our state has.
Well, even just in the trailer, there's so much footage that's showing, like, you know, it's about a game camera, it's about a trail cam. So there's, you know, evening, there's twilight, there's early morning, those are the times that are just the witching hour in the gloaming, mm-hmm. where it's just really, really spectacular here on the high plains, because you've got this ocean of, you know, grass. You can see so far, you can see the next state. So yeah, I think that from the trailer, it looks really, really gorgeous. When you were writing it, did you have an idea of like, oh, we're going to shoot this on it? Did you have locations already in your head for this?
Right. Well, that's one of the things that is the most expensive part of making a movie is locations. And when you live on a beautiful patch of prairie, it's like, well, we're going to put you to work. We don't have to pay rent for this, or we don't have to pay location fees for this. So we did. You know, filmmaking is one of the most, I would defy anyone to come up with a more expensive art form. Even short films are really expensive. So you work with what you've got. And we had the locations, we had the idea, and, you know, I worked for free. So you use what you've got. And we had this really, really beautiful part of the world that I believe is underrepresented on film. And another thing that we really wanted to showcase were women's talents. And I've got so many statistics about how women are still, they only comprise less than a fourth of all directors, writers, executive producers, editors, cinematographers for the top grossing films in the United States. And actresses fare hardly better. Only about a third of on-screen speaking characters are women. And after you turn 40, it decreases big time. Apparently, when you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s, you decide to be mute, according to Hollywood. So I was really impassioned and emboldened to have 5 out of 7 of our characters be women, and the majority of behind-the-scenes crew, the director, the producer, a lot of our department leads were all women. And that felt really good to get that done. So we've got the rural women aspect of it really coming into play. And yeah, it just feels really great when I look at the credits to go, wow, we set out to make a rural woman film, and we did.
You know, it's wild to, like, now we're in this golden age of streaming. There's so much content. You just feel like you're being, like, goose-fed this information. You know, there's so much going on. And then when you check, it's like, oh, look, it's a woman director. Oh, look, you know, it's still not that common.
No, and I think that's the problem with something like Barbie, which I loved, thought it was fabulous, and she really, you know, Greta Gerwig has done something really remarkable. But the truth is, there's a report that that comes out of San Diego State University that comes out every year called "It's a Man's Celluloid World," and the most striking thing about this report is the lack of any progress for women in film, just statistically speaking, across the board. it just isn't happening. Barbie took a lot of the glory, and rightly so, but instead of being emboldened to make more movies about women, they've taken that statistic, and I think Mattel Films now is making 14 movies about toys. So it's just like they're not getting it, that women were really clamoring to see the movie, not because of it was about a doll, it was because they saw themselves represented in a really fun and true way, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm a kind of a documentary film addict, and I think there was one, I think it was called This Changes Everything, that was basically about the, you know, struggle to try to get representation and fair pay for women in the film industry. And it was pretty shocking to see what was going on, the people that have been fighting for decades and decades. And yeah, the bottom line is the needle is moved and there is more representation, but not even close to where it should be. I mean, just kind of same, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, you know, studio executives not feeling comfortable handing the keys to their fancy car to a woman. And I think, you know, I can quote statistics, but I think that your listeners, when they go to the movies next time, just think about how many women are speaking in it. Look at the, you know, state of the bitter end of the credits and just look at all of the women that are involved in it. It's probably more, but it's still not nearly what it needs to be. And strictly anecdotally speaking, like, I am 45. There's been a major downturn in the amount of roles that I'm right for. And granted, we had COVID, we had the SAG strike, all of those things really, really hit this. But I think I would be lying if I said that my age counts against me. If I were a 45-year-old actor, male actor, I would probably be in my prime. And that's really dispiriting. But, you know, that's why you've got to do the hard work. And I'm telling you, it's grueling work of making your own work.
Yeah, they did a Amarillo Little Theater, which is one of the oldest community theater. I think it might be the oldest in the United States. We have it here in Amarillo, Texas. And they did an Alison Bechdel play called Home that was really cool. And I only really knew, you know, as a comic, you know, I didn't know much about Alison Bechdel, but then somebody was like, oh yeah, like the Bechdel test. And that's when I first learned about that. This directly relates to what you're doing. You know, it's a test that asks whether or not a work features at least two female characters who have a conversation about something other than a man. I mean, you would be shocked. It's very, very rare.
Yeah. Even our film, which, you know, has all of these women in it, one of the main characters who does not have a lot of screen time, I will not divulge who, plays a prominent role. So we pass that test, but not, you know, not as much as you would think with an all-female cast and largely female crew. But yeah, not a lot of films do. And look, we had some amazing men working on this film. I'm not saying that, you know, men shouldn't be working here. It's just I would love for it to be more equitable. I've been on a lot of TV sets, a lot of film sets where, you know, it's mostly run by men. And again, like, my experience is my experience, but to contrast those with the sets that I've worked on where it's a lot of women, the women's ones feel a bit more collaborative. It's less about ego. It's less about hierarchy. I think the sweet spot is when we can all work together and learn from each other about it.
Yeah, and I do. And don't you feel that young people are coming up in a time where it is, you know, expected to, we're talking to one another. We're going to try to be post-gender. We're going to try to just respect one another.
Yeah. Yeah. And Emily, my director, who works at the University of Central Arkansas, has said that, you know, I just quoted a bunch of statistics about how in these big budget movies, it's still very, very disparate. She's saying that her classes, her film classes, are full of young women who are really clamoring to be in front of the camera, behind the camera, doing their own things. And that is thrilling. Even as a young woman, I didn't think, you know, and I still think of myself as young, like in the 80s and 90s, it was like, well, I'm going to be an actor. I never thought that I could be, you know, someone who I executive produced this thing. I co-wrote this thing. It's like, I didn't know I could really do that. And now I think younger women are saying, I don't have to wait for permission. It's just when you're dealing with these studio execs, you know, you can have all of these young women who think, I'm going to do this. But if the gatekeepers are still saying, no, we need to give it to the guy, that's really disheartening. And that needs to change.
Well, having a platform like Rural Women Make Films, not just as, you know, someone who can give some advice and mentoring to young women who don't know really where to start, you know, what you guys can do, especially with your work that you're trying to get Kansas to become someplace that incentivizes filmmakers to come there. And hey, you can get some tax breaks if you do that here. We, of course, hear about, you know, many, many states was, oh, this was filmed in Canada. This was filmed in, you know, New Mexico. Amarillo's attempting to do some sound stages. We're trying to get some, you know, film production here as well. But just having groups like yours, I feel like is going to be a game changer for young women that are coming up.
I hope so. And that's, thank you for mentioning that. That is one of the things that I want to do with Rural Women Films. And that is, you know, if there's a young woman in rural Montana and she comes across our website, like maybe we can help her out, help her guide, you know, guide her to how to get donors, or, oh, have you heard about this young filmmaker who's back in your area? I want it to be, I mean, everybody talks about the collaborative nature of online and like forums and this kind of thing, but I would love for it to be a place where people can really lean on each other, because it's a huge country. And I think a lot of folks, myself included, from smaller towns think, well, I've got to get out of here. I've got to go to a big city. I've got to meet like-minded people. But had there been, you know, your iPhone in your pocket, like there is now back when I was younger, the ability to go outside in your backyard and shoot a film is bigger than ever. And that's really thrilling, but you still need the know-how, and you film is such a collaborative medium. You know, you can't, my husband's a writer. I saw him type out an entire book on his laptop, just him and his laptop. You can't do that in film. You can't do that in the performing arts. So you need a group of people who can help you.
Well, I feel like more people that know about things like Grow Kansas Film and Rural Women Films just kind of changes how you can think about the arts in the state of Kansas, where things are a little more spread out. People are spread out all across the High Plains, intensely creative, brilliant people making really, really great art that you could put up against anything. But just having a platform and having a, hey, there's someone in Salina doing this thing, I think is really does, you never know how many seeds that's planting within people's minds.
I hope so. You know, had I been told as a young woman, if there had been an actor, executive producer who had come back to my town and had done things a bit on her own, I would have really perked up at that and just been probably inspired to just keep going. Because it's not, look, this, I don't want to encourage anyone to be an actor who's in your listening area. It's brutal. It's the statistics of quote unquote making it. And I would consider myself having made it. I've been on a lot of TV shows and films, and I'm so grateful for the work that I have done, but it is really hard. And that's why finding your collaborators is just so paramount. I'm so grateful for the people that I've met. Even in this area, moving back home to rural Kansas, having people go, oh, we can help you with that. Oh, we can make a meal for you. Have you heard about this grant? You should apply for this. You know, that's something that's different than in a bigger place like New York. You throw a stone and you hit 50 aspiring actors. But when you come back home, you realize that, okay, we're small in numbers, but we're really determined, because there's just not that much of it yet.
Yeah, you throw a stone here, you're just going to hit a bunch of pill bugs. and they have no ambition, none.
Last I checked, no. Very content in their circumstances in life.
Well, this is extremely cool that you've got this film finished. And I love that on ruralwomenfilms.com, you've got a little chunk that just says, got a script. So you're encouraging people to reach out. You want people to, you know, visit ruralwomenfilms.com, check it out, find out what you guys are doing. Because like you said, we live in a place where the community does come together and does support, you know, interesting endeavors. And the people in this region are smart and cool, and they read and they're pensive. They live in a space that is really like expansive, and it gives you a lot of room to think about the world that you want to create. And I think an artistic, you know, inspiring world is usually resoundingly, you know, where people are pointed.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, a lot of my friends back, my actor friends and my theater friends and my film friends back east and on the coasts, they're like, what are you going to do when you move back? And I love these people, but it kind of hurts my feelings. It's like, well, I'm going to do what I do. I just have to build it a bit more from the ground up. And I also think that, you know, to speak of this beauty that we live in that is so easy to discount, it reminds me, your listeners might know of, and I might butcher his last name, but Kent Harouf, I believe he was an Eastern Colorado writer. And he talked about the plains as being the country that he loved the most. And he said, you know, that it wasn't pretty, but that it was beautiful if you know how to look at it. And I think there's something so true about that. This is, to quote a Kansas writer, Chloe Cooper Jones, this is difficult beauty out here, but I think it's so worth it. And I think that the art that we make from it is redolent of that. I think this expansiveness, like you said, like we have more time to sit and look at the sky. And I think that it's just as inspiring as being in a city with bright lights and big city energy.
Yeah, BCE.
Exactly.
It's good to have BCE in the middle of the country, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is really inspirational. I hope those out there listening that know someone who might be intrigued by film, maybe it's someone in your family, maybe it's you, check it out, ruralwomenfilms.com. Lots of information there. And there's a link to, you know, growkansasfilm.com. You can look that up and see what they're trying to do to bring more film production to Kansas. I think that would be so cool, because think about all of these incredible dramas that we have that are set in the 1850s and stuff like that. I mean, we've got Yellowstone that's filming down here in the Amarillo area.
There's so many
options when you're talking about even climate fiction. Like, there are areas that look like untouched country since, like, you know, billions of years ago on the High Plains.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there aren't a lot of film professionals out here, but that can grow, and costs are really low. There was an article that came out in the LA Times about how, you know, they should start making movies in Kansas. And I think it was in part because the author was so thrilled that Kansas voted to retain abortion rights. But, like, no, really, let's not have that be a metaphor. Like, come film in Kansas. There's a lot of really gorgeous landscapes, and so much has happened here. So let's not film it on a soundstage in LA anymore. Let's film it at the source.
Yeah, down with Culver City, up with Junction City.
You're great at coining these phrases, Jenny. I like it.
Thanks. I'm a copywriter by trade. I just you know, weaseled my way into radio.
Well,
it has been so great speaking with you, Kiki. Thank you so much to you and your partner, Emily, for putting this together. I encourage everyone to just hop on ruralwomenfilms.com and check out the trailer for The Game Camera. Again, it's going to be airing in Salina. Very cool that you have an art center. You know, Salina is really cool town. They've got, like, a really good, the Stiefel is there, right? I mean, it's just neat.
They've got a symphony. They've got a theater. They've got these amazing murals now. Truly, next time you're driving anywhere on I-70, stop off, check us out. We've got some great food, coffee, and the downtown's really, really exciting. And I'm really happy to be a part of it. And I just want to thank you for taking the time and the interest, because what you're doing with High Plains Public Radio is really important.
Well, thank you. We are so happy to be able to, you know, lift up some of the voices of people doing cool stuff in the state of Kansas. So I appreciate your time, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. I hope the screening goes really well, and please do reach out to the Amarillo Film Society and let them know you have a film, because they're probably, I bet you they're going to probably start a call for submissions here sooner than later. They're a small group, and watching a lot of movies is very time consuming.
Oh, I can imagine. It is on my list. After we get off the phone call here, I will head right over and check them out for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kiki, and good luck on the screening. And folks, yeah, go to our HPPR Facebook page. I will have that link to the trailer up. You can check it out. And man, it starts out feeling like it's almost going to be a horror film, but then it looks really beautiful.
Good. We want to have the beauty and the horror, because that's what life is made up of, isn't it?
Absolutely. Women on the prairie know nothing more than beauty and horror. All right. Well, we're going to play some music about the prairie now.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, Kiki.
Thanks, Jenny.